Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this broadcast. What we do here is we go through the Bible chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and we've ended up in the book of Hebrews, author unknown. And if you think you know who the author is, well, I'm not convinced. And I really do know who the author is. I believe that the author is the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father, who wrote all of these books to us. And as a matter of fact, that's why I believe it's called God's Word. This is His Word. We're in chapter 2 of Hebrews. I'm just going to back up to the beginning here of the chapter and jump in there. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Most people don't have time for the Word of God. Growing up in the world, especially today, the public school system teaches directly or indirectly that the Bible is a book of fables. It's an old, old book. And an old, old book of fables that really has no relevance in our world today. Why, we are modern and we are smarter than all those people back then that wrote that book of fables. And we don't believe in fables, so we don't have to pay any attention to that book of fables. Then you have a so-called truth movement, patriot movement, all these movements, zeitgeist movement, all these things out here. And these people pretty much believe the same thing. They believe that they have the truth without the Word of God. They're the biggest fools of all. But most people, all of these people, they don't have time for the Word of God. When it comes to a program like this, they'll turn it off. It's not flash bang enough for them. The Word of God is just, that's that old book of fables. They need someone to hype it up for them on the current events of the day. Someone like a Rush Jones or an Alex Limbaugh to get their juices flowing. Besides, they don't want to be convicted of their sin. I mean, that's a bummer. I mean, that's really what it's all about. Don't convict me of my sins. Let's talk about all the evil in the world so we can feel righteous in ourselves. That way we don't have to do anything about the unrighteousness in our life. What you're really saying, as we've been discussing here, is that there is a kingdom where this king rules by righteousness, where the scepter of his kingdom is righteousness, and we don't want that in our lives. So give us the guy with the big mouth who can point out all of the evil in the world, and we can feel good about ourselves. Yes, I'm a truther, I'm in the truth movement, and we're against evil. That's what's really going on out there with all of these programs and all of these networks and all of these people that are focusing on all the evil in the world. All they're doing is making themselves feel good because they're against evil, but they get to continue in their unrighteousness. They don't have to have the king of righteousness bring his scepter into their lives and start cleaning up their mess because they enjoy their sin too much. I don't have time for these people. I don't have time for these big mouths that all they have to do is talk about all the evil in the world, but they have no answers. You want to fight evil? Then start right here. Bring his scepter, the scepter of his righteousness, into your life and allow the king to clean it up. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Yes, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. You know, Yahshua, even as he was preaching the word, and he was doing miracles. You know what he said? He said something astounding, and it almost seems contradictory. He said, "A wicked and perverse generation seeketh after a sign." I'm not one of those. I don't seek after signs and miracles. And I know there are people out there, that's all they do, is they chase after a miracle. They chase after signs and the giftings of the Holy Spirit and the moves of the Spirit and all this. But God tells us right here what these signs were. They were to bear witness of the message. What was the message? Brought by the Lord himself, spoken by the Lord, confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Speaking of those who heard him, who saw him, and ate with him, and face to face were his disciples, bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. These things were to confirm the message, not to bring about faith. Miracles don't change people. Miracles are to confirm the message of those who are faithful. The miracles and the signs and the wonders are to confirm the message to those that are already in his kingdom, practicing righteousness, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The miracles and the signs are for them. The miracles and signs don't change those who love unrighteousness. They're not there to change the minds of the skeptics, of those who don't believe, but they're there to confirm. See? Confirm. Bear witness of the message. Continuing verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. All things are in subjection to this man, Yahushua, Jesus, the Messiah. All things are under this man, who rules with a scepter of righteousness, the Son of God, all things. And that is now. It's not a gonna be someday thing. It is now. He rules now. He rules the nations with a rod of iron now. In the millennium, it won't be necessary for him to rule with a rod of iron. It's necessary now. All things are in subjection under his feet. So all these people that believe that the scripture is a fairy tale, and that the virgin birth is a myth that men made up, they don't even understand who's in charge, the very one that they don't believe in. All things are in subjection to him, just because they can't see it. Why can't they see it? Because their eyes are blinded, because they love unrighteousness. That's why their eyes are blinded. Chapter 2, verse 8, Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, speaking of God who put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned. He was made lower than the angels for the purpose of suffering death. That's right. God became a man. There's a mystery. So that he could suffer death. And that to save us from our sins. To save us from death. To make a way for us to escape. Because he suffered death, yes. But death had no claim on him. And if we are covered by his blood, by faith, of course, there's no other way. We have to believe, we have to receive it by faith. Then our sins are covered by his blood. If we enter into his kingdom, allow him to be our king, allow him to rule in our life by the scepter of his righteousness, then we know that our faith is real. If that doesn't happen, then we need to question our faith. Is it real? Because real faith will change our lives. There is no forgiveness of sins without repentance. Metanoeo. It means change your mind. And if that doesn't change your life, then you're deceiving yourselves because you haven't really changed your mind to the point of taking every thought captive, judging every thought and intent of your own heart by the scepter of his righteousness. So we see Jesus, verse 9, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see him crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hallelujah. He tasted death for me. I can receive that. The sad fact of history is, the sad fact, and many of you have heard me say this before, is that most men will pay the price for their own sins. Most men will not receive the work of God, the work of Christ in their life by faith. They will not allow his blood to cover them, but they'll pay the price for their own sins by choice. They'll choose it. Why will they choose that? Because they love their sin and they don't want to give it up. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Sin is fun. Sin is pleasurable. There's a high price to pay for it. There's a high price now in this life because it destroys the flesh. It destroys your family. It destroys everyone and everything that you love. But it's pleasurable. It's fun now. The world will love you for it because if you're participating, they feel more justified. And certainly, if hand join in hand, God can't punish everyone. Well, because everyone's doing it. And all of the lies and ways that they justify it, when all they have to do is open their eyes and see the destruction that it is causing them in their own flesh, in their own lives. It's destroying their wives and their children and their families. The price is too high. And then ultimately the ultimate price is way too high because you'll have to pay the ultimate price. The problem with the plan where you pay the price for your own sins is that when you die, you will be dead, and there will be no escape. That's a bad plan. When a loving God provided a way for you to escape, he tasted death for all men. Yes, he tasted death for you. You'll get to taste death too. But the question is, will you be able to leave it behind like he did by joining his kingdom and allowing him to rule in your life today and enduring in his kingdom until the end so that you can be saved, to rule in your life by the scepter of his righteousness? Truly, meaning it when you pray that prayer that he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in my life, in this piece of earth, as it is in heaven. Rule in my life by the scepter of your righteousness, so that I may be counted worthy to escape death by the covering of your blood. It is so sad that most people, and probably most people that have heard the gospel message at some time in their life, will pay the price for their own sin. Bad plan. Very bad plan. You will not be able to escape death because the wages of sin is death. And unless you're in his kingdom, when your mortality ends and he's ruling by the scepter of his righteousness in your life, then you will not be in his kingdom forever. You will pay the ultimate price for your disobedience and your self-deception, and you will not be able to escape. So sad. Don't be one of those. Don't be one of those. Oh, Heavenly Father, let me not be one of those. You've already paid the price for my sins. There is nothing more important in this life than I take advantage of that and live in your kingdom and allow you to rule in my life by the scepter of your righteousness. But we see Jesus, Yahushua, the Messiah, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, for that purpose, to suffer death, so that he could pay the price for us. Crowned, we see him crowned now with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things. See, this goes to the man who was God. It says, it became him, for whom are all things. All things exist for him. That's what it says. And by whom are all things? All things are by him and exist for him, for his pleasure. He has created all things. And it continues here, in bringing many sons unto glory. Oh, praise God. I want to be one of those. You know, when you go through the Word of God and you see something like this, you got to grab onto it. Don't let it slip. Don't let it slip. Bringing many sons unto glory. I want to be one of those many sons that he brings unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. When he rules in your life by his scepter, by the scepter of his righteousness, that means that you are going to suffer in this world. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to suffer the scorn of the people that were your friends in the world. Better that than to suffer for your own sins. And if he was perfected through suffering, yes, the Son of God. It says here that he was made the captain of our salvation, that he was made perfect through sufferings. Perhaps a better word would be mature. He was matured through sufferings because he was already perfect. When the Father spoke at his baptism at the end of the 69th week, when the Messiah walked onto the scene and was anointed for that 70th week, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. See, he never sinned. He was perfect in the way that we will never be perfect, because he never sinned. He never sinned. Because if he had sinned just once, then he would have paid the price for his sin alone, and he would have been unable to escape death. So he was the perfect Son of God. He was not a mere man, but he was matured, the word perfected, through suffering. The captain of our salvation, perfected through suffering. How much more should we be willing to suffer the scorn, the tribulation, the persecution that comes with entering into his kingdom and allowing him to rule in our lives by the scepter of his righteousness? Yes, into allowing others to believe that we follow fables and fairy tales, but we know his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that the things that we believe are true. We're not just fools out here wanting to believe in some fairy tale that may or may not be true. He has revealed them to us by his Spirit. I know that he exists. He has shown himself to me in a way that no one on earth could make me doubt that he is real. He has opened up the mysteries of his kingdom to me, and all the mysteries that we read about in the scripture, I may not be able to articulate them to the skeptics and the unbelievers in a way that they can understand, because their minds are and their eyes are darkened and their ears are dull. It doesn't matter how well I articulate it. They can't hear because they're blinded by the darkness that they love. They will not understand until they repent and allow him to rule in their lives by the scepter of his righteousness. Yes, thank you, Heavenly Father, for ruling in my life by the scepter of your righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's his. It's not mine. He imputes it to me. He rules my life by it. But somehow I have to allow him. He's looking for volunteers to fill his kingdom. And it's a wonderful kingdom because you get to live forever. You get to go beyond the bounds, the boundaries of your mortality. I can't prove it to you. You have to accept that by part by faith, but he'll reveal it to you by his spirit and you'll know it's true. And I can say that because he's revealed it to me. I know it's true. No one can dissuade me or persuade me otherwise. For it became him for whom are all things. So all things are for him and by whom are all things. So all things come through him. They are by him. This makes this man God in the flesh. There's no way about it. And yes, somehow the mystery still stands. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I can believe this word. I can believe what I'm reading here and still be a monotheist because there's a mystery that I understand. And perhaps I may not be able to articulate it to you and to all of the skeptics and the Islam and whoever else out there questions it. All I can say is that I know something because his spirit has revealed the mystery of his kingdom, the mystery of the Son of God, and how he could be the man that is described here in the pages of this book. Let me be. You know, as you go through the scripture and you see things like bringing many sons unto glory, pray. Let me be one of those. He is the captain of our salvation. He was perfected through sufferings. We should be willing to suffer whatever it takes to be in his kingdom, to allow him to be our kingdom, and to rule in our life by the scepter of his righteousness. Continuing in verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Sanctified, set apart. I want to be one of those. Don't let it slip. Saying, verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And we're going to have to pick up here after the news. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere. It just keeps getting better and better.